Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house. We just are so glad to have you folks to come and join us and to praise our great God and our wonderful Savior. Welcome to each and every one this morning, and we're so glad to have you. As we begin our worship service this morning, I want to share with you from Psalm 67, reads like this. God be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all of us, all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God, and let all the people all praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let us praise him for his goodness together this morning.
Hymn of worship this morning will be number 189, first and third verse. You all stand.
Together. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful to have a God like you that loves us and cares for us and provides for us so wonderfully, watches over and protects us. And Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we are able to come this morning and come together as a church family and once again to honor you, Heavenly Father, and give thanks to you for the goodness that you have dealt with us, the good things, good way you have dealt with us in this past week. Heavenly Father, you're just so good to us, and we thank you, Heavenly Father. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people gathered here and their faith, Heavenly Father, and encouragement to one to another. And so, Heavenly Father, our desire this morning is to honor you and to thank you and to praise our wonderful Savior Jesus, and who we have all hope, and we have the greatest hope of eternal life, dear God. So thank you. Again, we thank you for each one present. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit will deal with us kindly, that it will guide us and direct us and give us any direction that we might need to help us out in this coming week. So, Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on each one as we praise you and worship together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Union hymn this morning will be 215, first and fourth verse.
When he shall come with Gather around the Lord's table and read from Mark chapter 14. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my blood." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God."
Dear God and gracious Heavenly Father, it is a joy and we can come together and gather around this table. The Lord Jesus Christ told us to do this, and he did it in remembrance of him, great love that he had for mankind, that he would go and lay down his life for us, that he would suffer Calvary's cross and death there. But we're so happy, Heavenly Father, and so blessed to know that he rose from that grave. And as we partake of these emblems, we're reminded, Heavenly Father, the price that was paid for our salvation and the hope that we have, all because of your love demonstrated through the wonderful Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray.
Heavenly Father, again, we're just so thankful for the beautiful Lord and Savior provided with us. Another day of life you've given each and every one of us. Thankful for the opportunity we have to be in this thy house to study your word, proclaim your wonderful love for us. We love you, Father, but you loved us first when you sent your Son to the cross for Calvary for the remission of all of our sins. We're just so thankful, and the ones that's given an extra effort to be here this morning. Thankful for the welcome of our visitors this morning as well, and be with Benny as he brings the morning's message. And we pray, Father, for all the ones that's outside of your kingdom, that if it be the day today, make the decision for you. Again, Father, thankful for the ability we have to get out and make, earn a living for our families and return just a small portion back to you to further your kingdom, not only in this community, but for around the world. Again, Father, thank you for the many blessings and forgive us where we fail. Amen.
Again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house. And this morning, I didn't get to greet everybody this morning, as I usually do. So greetings to everybody this morning who I missed. And even our piano player, I didn't get to greet her this morning. Bless you. So glad that you're here. Thank you. And how many remember K.O. Rutherford and his wife? Not many of them. We're so glad to have them back here. Is it 60 through 64 you was here? Did you say something
wrong? January of 1960.
Okay. And so it's good. So good. So good to have them with us this morning. Welcome to you. He's retired from the college down there and still preaching the word, though. That's great. We're so glad for you and the service you've been to the Lord so far, and I know you're going to continue to serve him. That's great. Thank you for that. All right, as we look at this evening, we will not be having our Bible study. Most of the people is going to be out because of Mr. Richard Barkley that we mentioned last week passed away. And his layout is from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Funeral will be at 5 o'clock today. And so there'll be several of our people that's in Bible study will be there. So we'll pick back up next week on that. And good. And we know there's a couple of people are not here. Omer's not here this morning. He's vacationing and with his son, and now gone down to granddaughters, I believe it is, and so forth. So he'll have a good trip there. We're sorry he missed today, but we're glad that he's able to be going and go for it. And Omer still is our song leader. Michael's just filling in for him today, you know. Yeah. Yeah, Omer still leads our song service. About 80 years, probably.
80 years.
And he did when you was here, I'm sure. Yeah, we love him. He's been good for us. All right, what else taking place? Anything else taking place? Hey, somebody didn't remind us. They had a revival over at Corinth or Skullbuster last week, and you know, for some reason, I didn't know that, and I didn't announce it here, and nobody shared that with me, so we would have been able to go over and share with her in the revival last week. And so we just heard about it then the Saturday morning, I think, something time like that, and so forth. All right, and then let's turn to our prayer list, and we have still a great number of people on our prayer list, but be mindful of each and every one of them. And so a couple of things to in particular to share with you. And I think Pauline's been to the doctor this week, and we want to pray for the things they're working with her on that. We have a couple of people that are seeking other employment and so forth. So we want to pray for that. And we have had a couple others on my mind. Oh, my brother, you know, your younger brothers just want to copy after you all the time. Well, my younger brother had an open heart surgery this week. You know, he got out of the hospital a week ago with his operation. He had two bypasses. They had open heart surgery. I tried to get a hold of him on the way out this morning and didn't get to talk to him. Last night we had a bad connection, couldn't really get some good conversation last week, but he's doing pretty good when I talked to him a couple of days ago, and doing right well. So I hope he comes through that as well as I did. I told him before when I heard that he was going, kind of surprised to us, kind of a little bit shocked, the fact that he had to do that. But some complications took place. They come to find out he had the blockage. That was probably, so it was kind of a rush deal. And so I talked to him the night before that he was going to be operated on. He was operated on Friday morning. And I had an appointment with the doctor Friday morning, so I couldn't go down there and such. And so I told him, I just hope that things would go as well as they did with me. But I know why everything went so well for me, because these good people praying for me, and God hears prayers and God answers good people's prayers and so forth. And that brought me through real good. And so I told him what the congregation had been praying for him, and we praying for him and such, and so things will be well. So as far as I know, he's doing right well, but continue to pray for him if you will. Who else is on here? Ron, I don't know, they're not here this week. And Ron, he's having a little bit of problem. I hope that he's all right. He's going to have an operation here in a couple more weeks. And so keep that, Ron and Tina, in your mind. Wayne's not here, and Wayne was just not feeling up to it this morning. Well, we miss Wayne when he's here, and we continue to want to pray for Wayne. And again, Omer's here, so pray for him and their safe journey. Who else is on here we want to look at here this morning? Help me out if you can. All these people are in need of God's touch, and God is blessed. We can look around this room right here and see how God has blessed people. And so, Daniel was in the hospital the last Sunday. Yeah, we were expecting to have dinner with mom and dad, wasn't it? And so they didn't show up at the restaurant, and we called and they said, "Well, we're taking Daniel to the hospital." And so Daniel's, you got to go back this week, and they're working and so forth. So all those things that they're working with, we just pray it'll all work out for you. Trust God, we know they will. It's just we want to pray that God will help you through that, and we know He will. Anything else that we want to share this morning?
Vernon's not here, I guess.
Who?
It's Vernon.
Oh, yeah, Vernon. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Hey, Gail, I'm hard of hearing. I got two hearing aids, still can't hear. But, yeah, Vernon, I thought about him. I think about him every day. He's on my daily prayer list. And he did have some problems. He, last week, he said he's feeling pretty good. So we pray that he's all right. Hope that he's not having trouble this morning. Great many things to be praying about. And how many of you have been praying about the setting aside this little prayer thing I asked you to do last week and so forth, praying about getting an answer to the drug thing and so forth? And we're thinking, here's school's taking place. School's already started in some places. College is starting. These young people will be in there, and they'll be with people. Some of them will be discouraged and so forth, and they'll turn to something for help, and we hope that they don't turn to drugs. And so we don't have an answer for that drug, remember. I was over to the men's prayer meeting yesterday morning, and all the men there, I challenged them at the end of that. I said, go back to your congregations and ask your congregation to set up just a few minutes every day to pray against this drug situation. Pray that the government, somebody will come up with an answer. We can knock that in the head. Nobody has an answer for that. And so we just got to go back to 2 Corinthians 7:14, and that's our answer. If all God's people. And just like you people praying for all these people on our prayer list. So, but set that aside, if you will. I'm not trying to tell you how to pray, but I'll just encourage you. Set that aside. That's a very special need that we need, along with all the special needs in our people's lives. So I don't know. You just keep praying. Just keep pray for Almighty. Let's pray for them now.
Prayer hymn this morning will be 223. First and fourth verse. Let's all stand.
whatever their need may be, that you can make them better. We ask that you be with Benny as he brings the morning to Madison this morning. We ask that you be with this great country of ours and the leadership, the decisions might be made that our country might be a happier, safer place to live. We pray that you'll be with all of our city travels. We understand that Mark went with him, so he's going to need all the help he can get. For this, we fail thee. These words ask in thy name.
Our hymn of decision today will be 361, and then the choir is now going to have a special.
Still on the roses, and the boys I hear. Benny, I'm going to interrupt you just a second.
Just go right ahead, my friend.
I got a story. Cale, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Peggy Joe finally figured it out. I just get my mind. Oliver B. told me that Danny Marksburg, which preached here in the 70s, he's going to come visit us. Well, I kind of keep up with Danny off and on. So I go home, I call Danny, and I say, here you're going to come see him. No, not me. I said, we know you're welcome. Well, no, he said, I didn't make any. So we kept thinking, that we're going to get a visitor from somebody, and it showed up today. So now you would call Homer or something, or he had got the word, but he thought it was Danny Marksburg. So now we know who it was.
I remember that conversation.
Benny, we're gonna have another special.
Oh, you are? Well, bless your heart. Go right at it, madam.
Good morning. I know the last several Sundays, Benny's been preaching on heaven and what it's going to be like when we get there. And it's not something that we can really fathom right now, but it's something that I'm really excited about and that I look forward to.
Amen.
And this song kind of plays off that. It's called I Want to Know How It Feels. My mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there, and one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I'll keep on believing it'll be a place like I've never known. I'll keep my eyes on the sky, 'cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven, and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. Sometimes I get weary from this life that I'm living. Seems like peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load, give all that I've got to show. There's 700 things on my mind. Well, I have seen visions of a crystal clear river where sins were forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes want to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven, and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. I've heard of heaven, and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels.
Amen.
Anybody else have something they want to share with us? Robert, what about you? You okay? All right. Thank you for that special, and thank you, Kathleen and choir, for your specials. Always bless us, and thank you so very much for them. We finished up our series of heaven, and so this week and the next couple of weeks, we're going to have just a couple of different types of sermon. This sermon I've taken this morning, this message I want to share with you, I take from chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, want to share with you, bear with me as I read these verses, if you will, please. First 1 through 11 reads like this. The Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthians, says, "Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you will keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greatest part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one I'm born out of due time, for I am at least the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which has bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Amen. I feel compelled to share with you this message because of what I see and read about that's taking place. In the times past, there's been much said about the preaching of the gospel. In this day that we're living today, you know, it's preaching the gospel is not important to a lot of people, it seems like, but to Christians, it's the most important thing. I believe the gospel is the most important thing that could be in anybody's life, or should be in anybody's life, could take place in anybody's life. There's some preachers been accused of not preaching the gospel, and there are preachers which, like Kyle, has been many, many years proclaiming the wonderful gospel here. In fact, he was telling me he's been over there for 34 or 35 years, I believe he says, and it kind of puts me to shame. I've only been here 32. But it's so wonderful to have preachers like that have been true to the word, and we need, because the gospel's been watered down, and we have seen and heard many times of a lot of congregations together today, and it's kind of an entertaining place. How many of you remember Ruth Lyons used to have the TV thing on Channel 5, and her theme song was, "Let Me Entertain You." And a lot of people go to church now because they're entertained, and certainly ought to be a good thing. You ought to feel good about going to church and so forth. And so they're guilty of preaching a prosperity gospel, wants everybody to be rich. And then they talk about, you know, find yourself and so forth. I seen an odd, I see some very odd titles. And this odd one the other day, and I don't know why a guy would choose that. He says that the word sex, how is it, he put it, I wrote it down here. He said, "Sex is not a four-letter word." I don't know what that means, but that's what that was his sermon title. That's what he preached on, and I didn't go to the end of that. But we have such things, you know. We have the motivating preachers when they just talk about how good you are and what God wants to do for you. Those are not all bad, and not all bad at all, but getting away from preaching the gospel, and not only the preacher that stands in the pulpit to preach the gospel, but you yourself are a preacher. You're a preacher who wanted to share the word of God with people and so forth. We're all, as Christians, are all obligated to preach the gospel, to share the gospel to the lost. A preacher is a person whose occupation or function is to preach the gospel. And so, number one, and I know there's a lot of things that goes along with the gospel that we need to preach, you know, about the family and so forth. And what, I forget now how Paul puts that, you know, that we need to preach all the oracles of God, the Scriptures teaches and so forth, but the main is to preach the gospel, the good news that comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So how important is the preaching of the gospel? Paul sets forth in this passage for us here, and you know, the preaching of the gospel is good news. He said, I brought this message to you. I preached to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received it here. And so it's the good news to mankind. It's the good news that God loves. You know, one of the things that people need to hear. There's many people this morning. There's many people you meet in your daily lives that need to hear that God loves them. That's the good news. God loves us and what he did for us and how he sent. Hebrews 9:25 says, you know, the truth of the gospel says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. So that teaches us and tells us part of the gospel, what is important to us here. And so there has been a way, always been true, and it always will be true, that unless we are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never have our sins forgiven. John 1:29, John the Baptist talking about it, referring to Jesus, and he seen him as he walked down the beach there along the waters, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of mankind, which take away the sins of the world. The cross, as we had last week here, the cross is where God's love was poured out to us. Poured out to us. The wrath of God was satisfied, and the justice of God was fulfilled there at the cross. Romans 6:23 teaches us that the wages of sin is death. But we also know that Jesus died for our sins. And Peter said Jesus was a substitute for human sins. A person is redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. No other way. We talked last week, and we talked about in our heaven series about how people talk about how they talk about different ways to get to heaven. But no. The gospel is the only way. The good news that Jesus loves us and has prepared a way for us. That's the only way we're going to make that. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, because Jesus is God in flesh. And Jesus has done what he has done for us. He was that living sacrifice that was offered for us. And so he had a sacrificial. He rose victorious for us. That gave us hope. You know, if Jesus just went to the cross, was buried, what hope would we have of eternal life? But by him coming to that grave, we have the great assurance that we also, Jesus said, because I live, you will live also, he says. That's the good news of the gospel. Reason for preaching the gospel, the gospel is to be received. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I preached the gospel, you received it. Encouraging them to stay with it. In 1 Corinthians 5:1, the apostle always referring to the gospel says, that which I preached, you received. And so that's the reason that we need to preach the gospel. People need to hear it and receive it and be set free from the bondage of sin. The apostle said he was an apostle. He was sent to share the good news, he had said, to share the gospel. And the gospel, that's what it is. Gospel is good news to mankind for what God has done for him. People must hear to believe, and they must have preachers. They must have Christians that's willing to share, and they can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Reason for preaching the gospel, lest Satan would take advantage. Just think of the people who open their lives up to the advantage of Satan, that do those things that open the door for Satan to come into their lives. So as we preach the gospel, we try to prepare people and encourage people to not allow Satan to take advantage of us. Many young people are in that position today. I sad but true, but there's many young people that really doesn't know the good news that God loves them, doesn't know that they have redemption through Jesus, doesn't really know much about the cross, doesn't know too much about heaven, and they're open to the advantage of Satan. Satan will take advantage of the lack of knowledge. That's why we need study courses. We need lessons. And that's why we have good colleges to teach people and to teach people to teach people, so that Satan won't take advantage of us. We talked about the weakness in our revelation in Romans 15. Paul said, those who are weak, we need to help. Those who are strong need to help. Same way here. We who are strong in the gospel need to help those who are weak, so that Satan won't take, he'll step right in there and real quick and take advantage of any weakness that he can find. Reasons to preach the gospel, Satan is deceitful. We know how he deceits and how he, from the very beginning there of when Adam and Eve, and how he deceived Eve, and he has done that ever since, and he continues to do that. He deceives in so many ways. He can deceive you by the scripture saying he's, and Jesus, I believe, said that he can become the angel of light, and you will see him as something good and he'll take advantage of you and deceive you. He comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing, Jesus said, to deceive you. John 8:24, he says, Jesus says of him, he's a father of lies, and he will tell you lies about yourself. How many of you have had Satan come into your life and tell you how bad you are, that you have no hope and so forth? That's a lie. And he fills people with lies day in and day out. Lies. He lies. Everyone is doing it, he says. So it's all right for you to do it. And he'll lie to you. He'll say, well, what you're doing is not too bad. Lies after lies. Satan, Jesus said he's just a father of lies. He's full of lies. He tells you lies about the church. Maxine was telling me this morning about a situation where we know of this young lady, and she was going to a certain church, and because she's divorced, she couldn't take communion and so forth, and another lady agreeing with her and so forth. She said she's just going to have church at her own house and so forth. So you see, Satan lies to people like that. People get caught up that, and Satan says, well, you just not fool with them. They don't care about you. They do care about you and so forth. He lies about you, about the church, and he tells you lies about God. How many times, probably, I know I've heard this, Satan has spoken my ears. He said, God doesn't really love you. If God really loves you, this wouldn't happen. That's a lie. I find out that many things happen because God is blessing us. God wants to teach us something. God wants to show us something. God wants us to see that he will help us, and he really does love us. And so some things of those happens. He allows some things happens just so that we can see his wonder-working power in our lives. Satan will tell you different. He lies. So preach the gospel, because we don't want to be deceived. We don't want him to take advantage of us. We want to be able to quench the lies that he comes toward us with us. And that's why we need to encourage our young people, especially. Try very hard to get them into Bible studies. Try to get them to understand God loves them. God has a plan for their life, and that good things are going to happen for them. Satan wants to tell them a lie. Wants to tell them a lie and lead them his way. Never give place to the devil. Resist the devil. James says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him. Turn him away from him. We have a lot of jokes about the devil and so forth, but the main thing we want to understand is he comes, he tries to tell us, he'll lie to us, tries to deceive us, and we just need to turn away from him. Turn away from him and don't give him place. Resist him. Submit ourselves to God. Matthew 4:11, you're very well acquainted with that, and that's when Satan came to Jesus. And he tried very hard to take advantage of Jesus because Jesus was weak, been in the wilderness for 40 days, and he was weak, and he thought that was a good time to take advantage of him. And so he tried to deceive him by telling him what he could do for him, how great it was. We know what he did. We see Jesus then submitted to the Word of God. Submit to the Word of God, and Satan comes along and bothers you and tells you a lie. Well, hopefully that you know enough of God's Word to be able to tell him what God says about it. Satan, that's a lie. Get away from me. God's got something good for me. Don't try to tell me that. Hebrews 11:25 says, choose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I think about Moses. You know the story of Moses very well, how that he was born to a Jewish family, and how that the Jewish children were to be killed, and his mother thought so, put him in a little ark in a basket in the river, and how he was taken up, and he was raised his mother actually, to raise him up for the Pharaoh's daughter. And when he grew up, he was in a tremendous, wonderful, if you want to call it that, one of the best positions that a man could have on earth. He was in second line for the most power of that day. He also was raised up as a prince. He was a prince. You read about the princes today, we know, and all the things and all the glory they experienced. Moses experienced the glory of a prince. But the scripture says he decided to lay that aside and suffer with God's people rather than to experience all those things which Satan has control of that can give him. He said, rather suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures for, as what Jesus says, for a season. And that's certainly true how they come. Reasons to preach the gospel. because of the pressure of the world. You know, isn't it true that the world, you know, is clamoring, you know, how they want to get rid of God, get rid of this, get no prayer here. I don't know about you, and I'm not getting in the political field here this morning at all. I just have to say it's wonderful. I noticed last week, I believe it was, that they had the president had a meeting, one of the regular meetings, and what is Carson's first name? The guy, the colored fellow Carson, and you know who I'm talking about. Anyhow, it said that before the meeting took place, he asked Carson to have a prayer. The pressure has been on, can't pray him. Political people, meetings like that, no prayer, not in school, nowhere. The pressures of the world. So we need to preach the gospel because of the pressure of the world. The oppression of the pressures of the world can bring on, and they can manifest so many things, nightmares. How many people restlessly tumble and toss because Satan is dealing with their minds and thoughts, the way their life goes and so forth, can torment them with thoughts, creates lust, overwhelming thoughts and condemnation, worthlessness, he says, suicide thoughts. Not only are there suicide thoughts, they are suicides. That shouldn't happen simply because Satan and all his evil work and the gospel has not received the gospel because it wasn't there proclaimed to them. Maybe I might put it that way. So that happens. Total loss of hope and future when we are pressurized by the world. Unclean thoughts, addictions of all kinds comes in, pressures of the world. People, you know, it shocks me to think. I can understand young people going to college and out of the atmosphere that they're used to, away from home, and things are not going real good. They get depressed, and somebody says, here, this will make you feel good. I can kind of halfway understand that. I can't understand 40, 50, 60-year-old people getting caught up on that stuff, you know. But that's the pressures of the world. The job gets to me so bad that I have to do something to relieve that. The pressures of the world. And so the gospel needs to be preached so that people can understand there is a relief. There is a release to that stress and all that you face in there. Reasons to preach the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that we can stand firm on. Paul says, I preached it. You received it. It's firm. Stand on it. We have nothing else. You know, what is that song? Stand on the gospel. Because everything else is sinking sand. Folks, that is all we have to stand on here. Look at what's happening in our nation, in the world. There's no truth. Things are just at such a mess. The only thing that really that we can depend upon, that we can stand on, that we can have peace with is the gospel. And so Paul says, yeah, I preached it. You received it. You believed it. You received it. Stand on it. And I'm afraid that's why I want to encourage you, preach the gospel. Why? Because it's not being preached as it should, where it should, as often as it should. Preach the gospel. Things to stand on. The gospel is the only hope that we have. Christians must stand firm on the gospel. It's the only thing in this world that will last. It's the only thing that will go into eternity. Peter teaches very well, everything else we see in this life here is going to be done away with. You will not be able to stand on this earth after the Lord comes. Done away with. Stand firm on the gospel, the good news of God's wonderful love for you. As Christians, we ask, really, we're not only asked to, we're really commanded to share the gospel. To share the gospel with those around us, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, with our friends, with our family. We've said before here several times in the last few, ye are the light of the world, Jesus says. He also says, you are the salt of the earth. light is to let people see. Salt does nothing but preserve, and the church is a preserver of the gospel. Light shines it out so that people can hear it. So preach the gospel, reason, because we can stand on its firm. I looked and I find the gospel is mentioned in the New Testament 86 times. And so that tells me it's urgent business, isn't it? But it says preach the gospel. The phrase preach the gospel is 11 times in the New Testament. And if you and if and when we fail to preach the gospel, the souls of the lost are at stake. Where the gospel is not preached, the souls of the lost are at stake. I remind you of this story. You probably heard this story before. In October 8th, 1871. And I come across this because I was reading after a preacher. And it just happened that this preacher was having a big meeting. They had a series of meetings that week, I believe it was, in Chicago. And after that meeting that night, which was a Sunday night, and October 8th, 1871, how many of you remember that, what took place there? How many of you heard of the great Chicago Fire? On that Sunday night, Chicago caught fire. And it blaze lasted until Tuesday. And they finally got it out on Tuesday. Many lives were lost there. In fact, if I remember, it said there were 300 lives lost in the Chicago fire. Hundreds of thousands of people were left homeless. And a great deal of Chicago business district was burnt out. There's a great lesson there for us. Great lesson, the Chicago Fire. I visualized that in this series of messages, this series of meetings that was taking place. Should have been a tremendous message for them. The tragic is tomorrow is not promised. There's many people in the church house this morning across this nation, maybe around the world, that will not live to be back in that church house next Sunday. Hundreds of thousands of people, no doubt, will not be able to gather like you folks as a church family and praise the Lord and seek the Lord as you're doing this morning. We don't have tomorrow. Whether it's a great fire or just in a silent sleep, many will pass during this week. Churches across America today, many people won't live because they haven't heard the gospel. It's up to you, me, to the church to share the gospel. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to preach the gospel? We as a church, we as Christians, cannot fail, must not fail to preach the gospel. Why? Greater fires than the Chicago fire awaits the lost souls. And that fire will not go out. That alone is enough to behoove you and me to do everything we can to reach everybody possible with the good news, the gospel, which is the good news of God's wonderful love for mankind before it's too late. I encourage you this morning, we do not know what will be tomorrow. And if you haven't made ready for the future, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an opportunity for you to do that. Jesus calls you to come, receive him, have the life and have the hope that he has promised. As we stand and sing the first verse only, if you need to make a decision, please come. First verse only. Not always hear my humble cry, while on others' hour calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others' hour calling, do not pass me by. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house this morning. How encouraging it is. I speak this to you about every week, but it really is encouraging. To me, it's encouraging to see you people of faith who love the Lord and want to honor him, praise him as you do. And I hope that as you look around and see brothers and sisters Christ, I hope it's a real encouragement to you. I pray that this week will be one of the greatest weeks that you ever experienced in life, that you'll experience greater things from God than ever before because you're here this morning seeking him in his way in your life. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great and wonderful day. And Kyle, I'll never ask you, but would you please have a prayer for our people before we leave? Thank you very much.
Kind God. Preaching the word, where people gather, where people are able to come to Christ. And we pray now that you would watch over and bless this congregation. Bless these that we gather here and worship here. And may we each one realize that we are loved by you and that we are ones who proclaim that love to others. Watch over, guide and direct, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle. God bless you.